the air.
Well, that's all.
Looks like you're a Baltimore Ravens fan.
Oh yeah. I keep on making my room. I mean, all I do is like teleconferences in here, but I really want to look professional, not like backwards hat, not shaven like I am right now, but you know, I try to look a little nicer on it. And I'll see if I minimize this.
You should do what other people do and like blur your background. And then it's like you're shooting it out of like a DSLR.
Dude, I have a green screen now. This is actually this is all CGI back here. No, I really do. I really do have one.
That's awesome.
All right. So we have some things to discuss.
Yeah, a few.
We kind of knew this was coming, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was 100% deserved, but it definitely felt like it was going to happen and needed maybe to happen. But
so let's get into like the idea of deserved. So I guess everyone knows this already, but Todd Reirden has been fired by the Capitals. After being with the club since like 2014, head coach for 2 years, really solid regular season record, and got first rounded 2 straight postseasons. And then this most recent one against Barry Trotz's team just could not put together even an okay effort, right? Like, would you agree with that description?
Yeah. Well, nothing consistent, like other than Game 4, it was just a bloodbath.
Yeah. Even in the first period of Game 4 was trash too. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. Like those last 2 periods of Game 4 were like worth a lot of pain, but not where it needed to be. So where we were sort of hung up was, the team stepped backwards in a couple of ways. I mean, obviously, like, Alex Ovechkin kept scoring and they kept winning games in the regular season, but they weren't necessarily dominating play. They weren't necessarily getting good efforts, particularly, I would say, out of Evgeny Kuznetsov during the regular season is probably where they wanted it. They were having some problems with defensive depth. I thought, like, Brian McClellan was sort of talking about how the defensive pairs weren't lining up like he wanted them to, like he wasn't getting any magic out of them. But I guess when it comes to, like, not necessarily deserving it, would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, I think overall, when you perform that well, when you win that many games, when you, especially at the beginning of the season, like the system was working last year, it was working. It's hard for me to really put my head around what went so wrong around December that made this team just completely collapse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me go to Hockey Viz and pull up some stuff, because like there is some like info here, and I definitely have written about this. Like, if like people were to like go back through like the snapshot, I think like throughout the season you'd see like me going like, don't know about this.
I think for me was the team recovered or started to recover at the end of March before the pandemic, and then for me personally, when the pandemic happened, I think it's just kind of a round robin of what you're going to get from all the players, because of all the different things where who knows who was able to have gym access. You know what I mean? Like, who was able to hit the ice? Who actually was mentally strong enough to work out all the time? I know those are silly things, but like, I think there was a really big difference between what guys were doing. And you could see it with like Ovi. Ovi was with his trainer. He was at top notch shape. He looked almost 100%. And then you just look at other guys and they were shells of themselves. And I think it's hard. I think it's hard to hold the coaching staff, you know, completely at fault for that. You know, like, just for me, I thought we were going to see some random stuff out of the pandemic. And I think we did. I mean, Arizona advanced. I mean, there's a lot of weird teams that advanced into the first round. And
but ultimately,
I don't know what to make of it.
They've all had the same advantages and disadvantages. Would you agree? Like, so like it still falls on like the I guess there's like this like randomness put into it, but like Arizona got sorted out eventually, right? Like, they're gone now. Yeah, they are gone. Yeah. Now. Like, I don't know, things correct themselves over time as like better teams will win. And like, no team had like an express advantage. Maybe the Toronto would, because they like lived closer, but not really, because they were so isolated.
I don't know.
Let me show you something. I just pulled this up. Sure. This is from you can see everything. Oh, that's fine. So this is from Hockey Viz or Ineffective Math. This is Michael Blake McCurdy. So this guy here, the this like line graph here, the black line is the Caps offense and the red line is the other team's offense. The weird thing is that like if you like go to December, which is the month that McClellan called out, they slayed it. Black, look how low red was in December. I don't know exactly what like he was referring to, and I don't want to presume that he was just like necessarily wrong about it. But like I also want to say, like, at the end of the season, I thought they were playing some of their very best hockey, and I was right. Like right before the pause, stuff was looking really good. And I thought the pause, this is obviously just like wishful thinking, it didn't pan out that way, but I thought that things could have, you know, turned out differently. This is unfortunate.
Well, that's where I'm like, okay, that's where I'm like, I don't know if it's Todd necessarily completely. I think it's more the team wants to go in a different direction. It could have something to do with Ovechkin's next contract. It could have something to do with the urgency they feel about how that window is going to be closing really soon, and they just saw what they saw from Todd and we're done with it. All I'm saying is I don't know if it's necessarily deserved. Like, you can't have a guy with that record, you know, and then go through a pandemic and then see the performances that you did and go, well, that's the coach. You know what I mean? I personally didn't feel that way. But again, I also understand it falls on him, period. Okay, yeah. You know, it falls on him. And that's, you know, if you roll the dice, if you weren't hard enough on guys during break, you know, it's your fault. And
it does seem
in front of that.
It does seem like accountability and sort of being the, being like the like authoritarian or the disciplinarian seems like something that McClellan's looking for more. From whoever takes his place. And maybe this is a delicate and effective segue into how I'd like to spend the rest of our conversation today, because okay. I've put together a little exercise. This will not be totally unfamiliar to you. That's right. It's a power ranking. So I'm just going to put you in the corner here, and you and I are going to power rank. I've made this one myself, as you might be able to deduce. We are going to rank. Thank you. We're going to power rank the names out there, the candidates for taking over. Let's just revisit the concept of a power ranking just for the noobs out there. S is your superior tier, the very best. Then you got your A's, they're good. Your B's, they're okay. Your C's, they're meh. And their F's are absolutely not. Everything that we're about to discuss already comes pre-filtered through the prism of white supremacy, patriarchal capitalism. So we're not going to see a lot of people of color or women in this list, or any, which is just, I don't have anything to say about that, but that I just wanted to put that out there ahead of time, and I'd be willing to entertain any options that fell along those lines. And this will be shortcoming in, after the pipe that, filters those things out. I know I'm stammering, but it's a very delicate thing, and I want to address it up front. Are you familiar? Are you prepared to play this game? What I'll do is I will introduce the person, and then you'll say, here's where you think they should go, and then we'll decide together. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm not super familiar with a lot of the coaches.
That's okay.
So.
I'll introduce them. We'll begin with a former coach of the St. Louis Blues, a former Philadelphia Flyer, Mike Yeo. He's like the guy that got fired and the team won the Stanley Cup. He was a great example of a guy you fire. And yet, because he's a NHL coach with experience and his name's out there, he's on the list. So how would you feel about the guy that you fired, then all of a sudden your team does way better and you win the Stanley Cup, taking over the Washington Capitals?
Well, I think first off, he looks exactly like Barry Trotz. So if you wanted to do a return to Trotz hockey, at least he would look the part. Yeah, I would say maybe C tier. There's nothing that excites me about him. He coached in Minnesota too, where, you know, those guys do not have the kind of offensive talent as Alex Ovechkin. So I'm not sure he comes with the experience that is needed to, you know, really coach the top notch guys. But you know, that's just me.
Fair enough. So we'll go from Mike Yeo, who did coach for some time in Minnesota, to another guy who we know from Minnesota. It's Bruce Boudreau. Where would you put? So let's, this is, by the way, is how much you and I would like to see this coach for the Washington Capitals. Not necessarily, and definitely, actually not at all, how likely are they to become. We can talk about that, but that doesn't affect our ranking. So I'll just go ahead and say he can be no lower than S or A. What would you think about a return of Bruce?
I would say probably, oh man, that's hard. I think he's a great head coach, and I would love to see it personally. But I would probably have to say A.
Oh, brutal.
Just because, you know, he has that, couldn't get past the second round. He lost in the third round, like they choked. Like, I think there's just something out there about him, you know, like, is he the guy that's going to bring the system that this team needs right now to really push them over the top? Because, you know, Trotz hockey, Carolina hockey, forecheck the Capitals to death. And I'm not sure a Bruce team would do that. So that's the only reason why I would say he's an A.
All right. Well, let's some of these are going to be likely candidates. Some of these are going to be less likely candidates. So here's Dale Hunter. He took over for Bruce Boudreau, actually, in what, 2012. Where would he go on the list for you?
I'd probably say an F.
F tier it is. We don't have to spend a lot of time on all of these.
Yeah, sure.
These are just a few of the options out there. So let's just throw assistant coach Blaine Forsythe into the mix. Where does Blaine go? I first of all, I spoke this one to existence earlier today. Obviously, McClellan says he wants somebody with experience, and he had some trouble with the transition from like assistant coach with Todd to head coach, and you know what that authority meant. What about Blaine, who, if he has any sort of relationship with players, it would be like the relationship I have with my refrigerator, like a human to a non-human entity that just is a functionary.
He's kind of like a cockroach. He survived every Capitals administration. You know, like, think about it, is that he didn't get fired today either. He didn't. He survived again. He may not make it in the next year, but they're leaving it up to the next head coach, which is just crazy to me.
Imagine you're the new coach and you come in and you meet Blaine Forsythe on the first day and you're like,
that's a guy I want to work with.
He charmed me. So where does he go? He might be a great coach, by the way.
Wait. Well, to be fair to Blaine, Adam Eaton, who is one of the coolest guys ever on the Nationals, they're really close friends. Oh, they're really great friends.
Then he could be.
And he has a ton of personality, so.
Well, where does he could be no lower than Yayo.
Below F. There's no chance.
We're not talking about likelihood. We're talking about if he were it, what would we think of it?
But it still has to be F for me.
Brutal. Absolutely devastating. We're gonna average it out. I'm gonna put him on C.
Okay.
I wanted to put him on B. I really did. All right. Let's get a little bit more. Let's be less unrealistic here. Let's talk about Peter Laviolette. Peter Laviolette, coach for the Flyers, coach for the Predators, and is probably in the top three names that you hear thrown around for the job right now. There's one thing that needs to be considered with it, and this is the one that I've sort of been ringing the bell on for a couple weeks now, that Laviolette has sort of a reputation for being a offensively stifling coach. This isn't just a reputation, too. Michael Blake McCurdy of Hockey Viz did a isolated coaching impact analysis and said Laviolette was one of the ones. I think he took about 14% of Predators' offense away. So just when he left, you saw the Preds really kick up their scoring a lot, their offense a lot afterwards. So I think he's a good coach. I had no idea that he was that suppressive to offense. I could see how that can be concerning.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
He definitely wins with a system. And I mean, that checks all the boxes of what Brian McClellan said today. Me personally, like you said, I'm a little concerned about the offense. And I'm also a little concerned about the demeanor. And if this guy is maybe too hardcore for this team. Because we don't know any of these coaches, but you know, from what we've seen and heard, he's one of those guys that's he's not torch level, but he has a lot of accountability to guys. Mm-hmm. And that might take a lot of joy away from this team, especially if you see an Evgeny Kuznetsov who is talking about he wants to play the fun hockey. I'm not sure he's going to be playing the fun hockey with Peter Laviolette.
So. And another thing to throw in there is that it still hasn't yet happened, but the Ovechkin decline with age is coming. And how would Ovechkin, who's yet to determine what happens after his 13-year contract, like what will he think about a coach that'll be A, hard as nails, and B, not necessarily offense first?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So let's commit. Let's final answer, Regis. Where do we put him?
I'd probably put him between A and B. Probably B probably is better.
There's no between. So we're gonna go with B.
So B.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I think you're right. I would think that's a bad decision if they went with it, but I think they could certainly do worse. To that topic, yeah. Just throw Pierre Maguire in the mix. Where does Pierre Maguire go?
You know what? Let's put him at a C. You know, this guy, he's going to know everything about every player, you know, and maybe the guys connect with him, you know?
That's wild.
You know, he knows all their high school friends. I don't know how, and...
One of the most anonymous coaches, John Stevens, recently of the New Jersey Devils. He's just on the list because he's coached and is available. No one's going to hire him.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I'd
put him a B. I'd put him a B, but I know nothing about him beyond his time with the Flyers, which.
Yeah, I'm going to throw him down to a C.
Okay.
Because I honestly would entertain him as an F. Let's go for someone a little bit more plausible. No, never mind. Let's do Mike Milbury. Where would Mike Milbury go?
I don't even know. No.
He's not interested in the job. Yeah. He was one of the worst general managers in the history of the sport. We'll just put him next to Dale here and they can hang out. I just had some pictures of faces and I wanted to discuss them with you. So listen, we don't have to take all of these seriously. Here's Adam Oates. We don't have to take these seriously. We've been here. We've done that. He goes on F tier. Unless you want to argue, he goes elsewhere.
The guys are going to have the best sticks in the league. A little too short, though.
All right. Let's get serious. Assistant coach of the New York Islanders, Lane Lambert.
I've heard that on Twitter. I don't think it's realistic, but I've heard that on Twitter.
Yeah.
I would say that what's going to that is that this guy coached with the Capitals. He's with Barry. You know, I don't know. I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think it would be a return to what they were doing before. And then he has no experience. So I'd actually say B, but I wouldn't love Lane. You know, again, it's not about a likelihood, but yeah, I'd say B.
I think he's exactly the same situation. Like, I love Lane Lambert, but it's exactly the same situation you have with Todd Reirden, where like here's a very competent and very well liked assistant coach. If he takes over the top gig, what can he do to distinguish himself and sort of build up that like reputation with the players? Why can't I come up with the right word there? Another player that's probably, well, another option that's a little off the table, and this is the only one I'm not doing a headshot for, Brooks Like. What if Brooks Like were to become a coach? How would you and I feel about that from our own interests? Also, what the hell is going on in this picture?
It's a thirst trap, Peter, according to Brooks Like. I don't even know where to start. I think some of the older guys make fun of him on Instagram all the time.
Content wise for our business.
Oh, it'd be great.
I think we got to put him next.
That'd be an S tier. That'd be an S tier.
You want to put Brooks Like on S tier. Okay. This is good. This is good. Cause now people look at this and be like, you guys seriously thought Laviolette was a B? And we're like, well, we seriously thought Brooks Like was an S tier. So try and make sense of.
He's an F. You got to move him to an F. All right,
fine.
I mean, he's not even into hockey anymore. No. Like, he has a podcast that he talks about what men want.
I think it was like talking about like pickup lines. It'd be like, you know, it's trouble when me and Elise drop off of a podcast. Like, she and I can't even listen to that crap anymore. We are getting near the end of this list. I do have like, what about like an anonymous college guy? This is David Quinn, who's now coaching the Rangers. But like, what if they just pick somebody out of college that I don't know anything about?
A. Put A.
Why?
You know, because I think there's a lot of good hockey minds in college. I think we've talked about this. There's a you know, it's just the same retread coaches all the time.
Oh yeah, there's, you know, there's 40 potential coaches. They're all white dudes, and they're all, they're all 40 or older, and it's all terrible.
It's a joke. Yes. So like, that's why I'm saying college coach, you know, it'll be different. And usually college coaches have to play system hockey. You know, so I don't know.
Yeah. One of the buzziest names out there is former, well, most recently of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock. What would you think if Mike Babcock were the coach of the Washington Capitals?
It can't happen. You know what? He checked some of the boxes that Brian McClellan
wanted. He's experienced. He's abusive. He's extremely expensive for a team that's notorious for not spending money on their coaches.
Yeah. Let's make that one. You know, for me personally, C or an F, but it should be an F.
Yeah, he's an F. He's an F.
He's definitely better than Brooks Like, maybe. I heard things about him before all that stuff came out.
The Babcock stuff?
So, yeah.
Okay. I thought you were saying it, Brooks Like. I was like, I heard some stuff about Brooks Like too, man.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, no.
Alien 4, folks. It's a good movie.
This is fun.
Yeah, this is. All right, let's do Gerard Gallant. Gerard Gallant coached for the Panthers when they were the Computer Boys. Got fired from them. Was the inaugural coach for the Vegas Golden Knights. Coached them to a Stanley Cup final. Bench Ryan Reeves from Game 5. And was fired somewhat unceremoniously. So that the team could hire their arch nemesis coach to take over. And they're still doing well, as they're doing great now. What do you think about Gerard Gallant?
So I think he might have some of the same problems that Todd Reirden had. Like, he's not necessarily Mr. Personality, but I think he's a really good coach. I looked through some of the statistical analysis. You might elaborate on that after I'm done. You know, he really made the Vegas Golden Knights really good. And that's very intriguing to me. I would actually say S tier for him.
I agree. I think that you can do no better. I don't know how to get this guy to go. There we go. I don't think there's a better hockey mind available. I think if it was just me, I think I would put Bruce and Gallant on the same level. And there's an argument that like Bruce has become a little bit more average mediocre over time. I think I agree with you. I think Gallant is probably the best fit. I think he's not opposed to offense. I think has a tremendous focus. Like Vegas obviously had like some very particular talent. They were a very fast team. And they could do stuff through neutral that not everybody could do. Obviously the Trotz Capitals just destroyed him in 5 games, but I really like that team. I like the way he coached them. I liked his style. I was somewhat upset about how he was fired. I don't think he's done a poor job in Florida. You're playing with the second lowest payroll in the major leagues. Maybe Ottawa is up in there too as well. I'm not sure, but yeah, I think Gallant is your guy. And I don't even think I think the team's likely to wait because they just fired a third of their payroll, or at least monumental, you know, had a major layoff this week. We don't know when the next season's going to start. There's no reason to put this on here. They're already paying Todd Reirden. There's a lot they could see that may shake out after the playoffs are over. Like if teams want to reorganize, we don't know when the next season's going to start, but I like Gerard Gallant. I think he's probably the best man for the job. And I'm using that term deliberately because everything we came here already started with the presumption that it has to be a pre-established hockey man. And the M is very deliberate there.
Can I be really cynical?
Can you? Of course you can.
What happens if the Capitals kind of already made that decision, you know, before they fired Todd Reirden? You know what I mean?
Or no, like, what do you mean?
Just super, like, you know, I think when George McPhee let Boudreaux go, he had been talking to Dale Hunter. Like he already had his foot dipped in the sand of what he was going to do next. And I'm sure that's normal, but I just wonder if there's already something that they already have going behind the scenes. You know, I don't know. We don't know anything either because they didn't have exit interviews with the press. So
it's a weird situation.
Well, pandemic, you understand.
I feel like they're going to sit on it for a while. I feel like they want to see what the money situation is going to be. So I transcribed part of the interview today, and somebody straight up asked the question, which I'm really glad they did. Somebody asked the question, hey, are you worried about, you know, shelling out money for your next coach? Mm-hmm. And McClellan said, I have never, during my term, had a situation in which like that was a problem, right? Like, which
that was an interesting way to answer it, right?
He was about to say like, no, absolutely no, I'm not worried about that. If we need the money, we'll get the money. But because he started with a historical statement, I have not had that experience. And he was like, in my term, but when I was assistant GM, it might have been a different story.
There might have been something that happened with Trotz where, you know, they wanted to keep him, and you know, who knows, you know,
they wanted to keep him at a reasonable price and at a reasonable term, or at a term in the middle, right? And Trotz is like, dude, I've got so much leverage right now, whatever, dude, he's in the second round, they're gonna get washed, but they're in the second round.
And then there was so much floating of, you know, Todd Reirden throughout that year, last 2 years. They made him associate head coach. They wouldn't offer Barry anything during his final year. He was a lame duck that entire year.
Yeah.
You know, there was constant, well, I mean, you know, there was reports that at the end that, you know, they tried to fire him or were considering firing him. So,
They were like 2.5 hours from firing him at one point in like November when they were on a road trip.
Yeah. I think it didn't happen because Brian McClellan was at the GM meetings.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's what I heard, is that him being at the GM meetings made it hard for him to fire him after the Colorado game. But,
all right. How do we feel about this overall?
I like it. I think the college head coach, maybe we slide that down to B or C.
We're totally allowed to do that. Yeah. Let's take him down to B, and we don't know who that person
Rando
would be.
From college. Yeah. Rando from college.
Real potential. It could be. Yeah. Yeah. This is a PowerPoint presentation. I'm just moving things around. But before I cropped it out, I just put like a bunch of pictures of Steinberg. This is actually multiple slides of that. I don't know why I showed that to you. That's my entire exercise for today. Obviously, we're going to be in a little bit of a holding pattern for a while because I don't know if you heard, but the Capitals got eliminated. So there's more hockey to be played, but it won't be by Capitals. It'll be by ex-Capitals, which is a list that no longer includes Philip Grubauer. So it's getting kind of lean, folks. Andre Burakovsky, and I hope you guys like Chandler Stephenson, because it looks like he's going all the way to the cup again.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what the worst part about it was? I kind of talked about it. Is like, you go through like, you know, everybody else on their side had to work. So like, and I think was understandably bored by the content during the pandemic, which I understand. But like, you know, after working like four or five straight months of just writing report stories and social media stories, and you're looking at like the amount of page views we were getting in comparison to before, they're just like, oh. And
we had five games of hockey.
And then you actually, well, you get eight. Don't forget that round robin and that exhibition game. So it's nine kind of. And you start to see everybody come back. You're like, oh my God, I worked this hard. It made sense. Everyone's back. The hard work was worth it. And then it's over.
Yeah.
And they're just back to what it was before. I was just like, oh, I don't care at all. You know, so.
And we have no idea when.
Yeah.
When, like, there'll be another season. My guess is January, but.
Peter, so you tell me, but the NHL throughout the last couple of months has constantly said, we don't want to play a 2021 season without fans, like full arenas. I don't see that happening until next season.
It's the very last thing. Your audio was goofing up there, but I heard what you said. The very last thing that'll come back will be rock concerts and big sporting events. And I guess like massive make out parties. They'll be the lag as well. But yeah, like for sure, like the things where people get into a single room and shout at each other.
Yeah.
It only comes when you have a vaccine, and I'm not allowed to talk about that on air. So we will not talk about
that. but yeah, it's like from what Fauci has said and others have said, you know, people aren't going to get fully vaccinated until next year at, you know, you hope. And so it just seems like if the goal is to have hockey with full fans, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to do it when I'm putting out. And then you look at baseball, you know what I mean? And how they tried to come back and how much of a disaster that's been traveling to and fro.
I haven't checked the Orioles score in a little bit, but I'll tell you something. I don't know how many people have to die if the Baltimore Orioles are all of a sudden good again. I'll start doing some calculations. That's a joke. I don't mean that. But they're beating the Red Sox right now. So
what's up? I don't even understand that, man. That's what I mean. Like pandemic sports, nothing makes sense, you know?
Well, you know what? The second round of the NHL playoffs is starting to make sense.
It feels better. I haven't watched any.
I thought it would, but so like I watched like the Dallas game and I watched, Dallas and, Colorado were playing. I was like, oh, dude, Colorado's just going to wash these clowns. And the Stars have, just on their top line, it's like Radulov, Ben, and Sagan. And they were just flying. And the Avs are a little beat up. And then Grubauer goes down. And, like, I honestly thought that it would just be like a 6-5 game and, like, the Avs could just find the goals. But it didn't happen. Like, you can't get, you know, 3 goals a game out of, like, Nate MacKinnon. So that's still a little bit like off the beaten path. But you've got like the Vegas series coming up that starts tonight with like Marc-Andre Fleury drama. Like, first of all, you know the deal with Alan Walsh like better than most people. I had to get that secondhand. I was like, there's a tweet that's going around that I can't see because my ass is blocked by Alan Walsh. Are you blocked by him?
No.
Really?
I always start fights with people like Alan May.
Okay. didn't he give us like a comment a long time ago or something like that? Or?
Yeah, he did. I don't even remember.
Was it the Halak thing or was that to someone else? Halak?
Yeah, I do. I don't know. Like, he's just a really opinionated agent. And
He added about Jason Schmera losing his hair.
Oh, yeah. We made a joke about him too, right?
Yeah. God, that was a long time ago. Anyway, Alan Walsh is opinionated and shared a photo of his client getting stabbed in the back by a bastard sword that had engraved on the blade the name of the head coach of his client's team 24 hours before game one of round two.
what do you think about that, Peter?
I mean, it's freaking awesome entertainment. Like, first of all, I think it's a good idea to play Leonard over Fleury. Right now, I like Fleury, like begrudgingly. He's been around long enough. He's won enough championships. He's had a couple like lights out seasons.
Yeah,
he's cool.
He's a legend.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. He's great. Lander's grown on me a ton for like obvious like off the ice reasons, but he's also been. I mean, he was a stud in New York, and he's been a stud in Vegas. He's younger. He put up better numbers. He's had a great postseason so far. And honestly, I bet between the two of them, it's cool. Fleury was like installed as like, I am the personality of this team. I'm like, you know, the
yeah.
And obviously they have a ton more players that are like just as good or better. I mean, like Stone and Carlson are all like great, you know, guys up there, but that's great. I love it. Give me the drama.
I want people to be more expressive. So I think it's fun, you know, but if you think of it from like just the rational point of view of like,
oh, what is it going to accomplish?
An agent is speaking like that for his client where he really is like, you know, window dressing like 99% of the time. His only job is to get the guy money,
yeah.
You know, not share opinions. It's like, you know,
I want to revisit the power rankings real quick because I think Danya's mad at us. So Danya says Babcock shouldn't even be on the list considering what came out after he was fired about how he treated players. Him being anywhere near a team would be a disaster. So Babcock was fired from the Leafs ostensibly for bad performance. But then as soon as he was fired, everyone's like, by the way, toxic AF. That's why he's down in the F tier. This is not a good ranking. Toxic AF. And yeah, just in case it's not clear, this picture of the hybrid alien from Alien 4, which is directed by a French guy with the staff that with a cast that only had one French speaker on it, and he got killed in the first 30 minutes. So that went poorly. Not a shining endorsement of Babcock here, Donnie. Please don't be mad at me.
I think you have to bring it up because it's a name that's going to be brought up. And
yes. Oh, dude, it has been. Like, you've been like doing stuff all day, but like. Hit, like floated by like Myrtle and Wyszynski, like big names are like, what about Babcock? I'm like, well, he costs like as much as, you know, a 28 year old free agent goalie costs, and he's a head coach. Yeah. So unlikely that Ted's going to shell that out anyway.
And then he already has that horrendously problematic past. I mean, it just, there's, you know, it's just,
it makes
no sense, and it's awful.
Like, do you really want to go to war with hockey Twitter? Because we're ready for it. God, we're ready. We're spoiling for a fight. You want to? Oh, Mike Bilberry's off the air. Hire freaking Mike Babcock as the head coach of the Washington Capitals and see how much of a jackhole me and our squad becomes about it. Like, I will become a Philly Flyers fan if I have to. Like, I do not want that gentleman here. Anyway, Ian, thank you so much for your time. I don't know why I'm saying goodbye to you. We're probably just going to keep talking after this over, but I'm saying goodbye to the internet. We'll figure out something to do now that we're eliminated. And, well, let's watch hockey tonight. How about that? We'll start with that.
Okay. I'll try. I'll play with my son, and then I'll watch a little hockey. A little.
Bring him with you. Get him into it.
You know what? Your coverage has been awesome.
Oh, you know, I do.
I kind of want to just stay out of it. You know what I mean?
Well, but
like, I just want to watch what you guys do. It's fun.
8 p.m. Boston, Tampa, which is called the good series. The Islanders and Phillies, Phillies, geez. The Islanders and the Flyers are the inferior series. All right. Bye, internet. Thank you, Ian.
Bye.